Hey everybody, it's Becky Davidson and welcome to the very first podcast of 2020 for Rising Above Ministries. We hope that you and your family had a great Christmas and that 2020 has gotten off to a great start for you. This conversation that you're going to get to hear today is one that took place back before Christmas, where I got to sit down with my friend Tracy Martin from Birmingham, Alabama, where she lets us in on the behind the scenes of her family life as she raises her 5 children, 2 of whom have special needs. And it's just an amazing story to hear her heart, some of the trials and some of the things that she has gone through in her marriage and just in her life as a mom of raising her children. You are just going to love getting to hear her heart, hear what she has to say about some of the struggles that she and her husband Mike faced in their marriage and the steps that they took to try to strengthen and encourage their marriage throughout this walk as special needs parents. So you are going to want to be sure to listen all the way to the end where she shares her one thing, the one thing that if she were sitting across the table from herself all those years ago when she first got her diagnosis, what she would want to know. So I know you're going to love hearing from my friend Tracy and hear her story in her heart as the mom of 5 kids, 2 of whom have special needs. Hey, Tracy, thank you so much for joining us today for the Rising Above podcast, especially in this crazy time of year with the holidays coming up and everything. I just am so grateful for you giving your time to have this conversation with me.
It's a pleasure. It's a real pleasure, love.
You know, I have known you, goodness, we were trying to figure it out, about 13 years probably, and met many years ago at an autism conference in Atlanta, and then you started coming to Rising Above events to Bible Brook, and I just, you know, even though I only really get to see you once a year, you are one of my most favorite people in the world, and I just, I follow you on Facebook, and I see all of the things that you do with your family, and I'm grateful that we're friends. I think that I'm so glad that God brought you into my life all those years ago, so.
Thank you, same here.
So you are in Birmingham with your crew. You've got 2 of your boys home with you today. So we may hear Gabe in the background joining us, which I think is amazing and great. But start off, just tell us a little bit about your family and what things look like in your world. As you laugh.
Okay, I have 5 children. And they vary in ages, well, twice age. I have one that's 24, boy, and then I have 4 18-year-olds, actually.
Wow.
Quadruplets, yes. I just wanted a girl to go with my boy, but God, you know, in his humor, I was like, here, have some extras, have some bonuses. So, yeah, no, they're gifts. So, yes, 5 children, quadruplets, and they're 18.
Wow.
I'm in Birmingham, been married for 32 years, and it hasn't all been roses and sweetness. It's been very hard, but we just cling on to each other and cling on to God to get us through.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So you've got your older son who is 24, and now you said he's graduated, but is he back in school? Is that right? And so he
was going to do pre-med, but then he changed his mind. So he finished out a chemistry degree, and then he went to another college to do engineering, because where he was, they didn't do engineering. So he's chemical engineer.
And so then you've got the quads who are 18, and
yes.
Man, Tracy, your life is full, to say the least.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And
it's good. It keeps me out of trouble, though.
Well, that is a good thing. That is a good thing. So tell us a little bit about the dynamics of your quads, because they're you know, they're all over the spectrum and all different places. So tell us about each one of the quads, and then tell us about the ones that you have who have special needs.
Okay. So even though they were born on the same day, they are totally different. It's like they were born at different times. They look different, they act differently, they have different interests and everything else. So Adam, first child out, he's actually tall, very, very tall, I guess like his dad. And he is doing music. He's doing music at a local college thing. Thank goodness it was his choice, but I was just like, yay. And then I have a girl, my little girl that I wanted, and she's
your one. Yeah.
Yeah, my girl, and you know, and so she's like, you know, tiny, a little, you know, and she is doing English, and she's very just reading and books and this. I mean, she's just like a boffin. And then I have Sam, who has Asperger's or high functioning autism. He's doing a gap year at high school because he graduated, but he didn't, you know, the only thing he didn't get was his paper. So he did normal classes and he did better in his classes than his SIPs.
Wow.
And so he, because he was in a academic skills class, he missed a couple of classes that he had to officially have. So instead of cramming them in the last year, they suggested that he had an extra year, and then he's doing like music tech. He's doing some like extra, you know, good curriculum that he enjoys, and art and all of that, as opposed to, you know, he's been just crazy for the last 4 years. So, and then next year we're going to try to get him into like a community college or whatever. He is like an absolute genius, but he's got no common sense. Gotcha. He's got that hidden, you know, most kids with autism are highly intelligent, but the common sense or the filters, you know, like you're asking me, do I need to have a shower today? But he got 31 on the ACT.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, so that's what he's doing. And then Gabe, he has autism proper, as I call it, and it's quite severe. He's nonverbal, and he's about 6 feet as well when he's on his toes. Mm-hmm. So he has some sensory issues, and he has some immunology issues, and so he's got all that, the sidebar stuff, which, you know, a lot of our kids with autism always seem to have like little sidebars, because autism isn't enough.
Right.
So there's some little extras on the side, some little sides. They kept him a year back. So he's actually a senior this year. And then at the high school. And so then he will next year just carry on going, because, you know, as you know, like our kids usually stay in school till 21.
Yeah.
So then I think next year they go and do like work experience. They go to different places and, you know, do odd jobs and like that, and functional skills and things.
So Gabe is pretty much 24/7 care. He's full on care.
Yeah, he, you know, has issues sometimes sleeping, and then I can't get my head around him. You know, I mean, I can't, like Sam, I've got, I know I can get him down pat, but with him, he's like a box of chocolates.
Yeah.
One day he's fine.
Yep.
Yeah, and sweet and nice and good and sleeping through the night and eating properly. And then it's like a different boy the next day.
Yeah. So when did you get the diagnosis for the boys? Was it close to the same age, or what did that look like?
They, at 2 years old, actually all four of them weren't talking. I mean, they were not talking, and I didn't know anything about autism or any of that stuff. I mean, I just, you know, the pediatrician just said, oh, they're delayed because, you know, they're quads and they were early. So that was it. So they suggested, you know, early intervention. And that was back in the day when early intervention was good and you could get 5 days a week or 3 days a week. So they would come in for all four of them to do that. And then I think when they were three, well, Sam started talking, but was still like, he was still a little bit off. And then Adam and Sophia were fine. and they, you know, maybe two or three words, and they seemed to get better. But then they saw the flags. So I guess they saw flags, and they actually thought that Sophia had some problems because she had like anger issues. Mm-hmm. But she would just get frustrated doing stuff. So they were worried about her as well. So all three of them had to be tested by a psychologist, and they came in, and they actually came to the house, which was great because, you know.
Wow, yeah, seriously.
Yeah, they came to the house, and because the early intervention people, you know, said, well, we're seeing these flags, and so we just need to check and make sure. And so then, you know, she said that Sophia was okay. Maybe when she's older, she'll have ADD or something like that, but it won't really affect her until, because she would get frustrated. She would try to color, and she can't color, so she'd be like, bleh!
Yeah.
So they said, oh, she'll be fine. And, you know, but the other two, not so much. They said that, you know, Sam was probably higher functioning and things like that. And then Gabe, because Gabe didn't talk, you know, basically didn't really. I mean, he would vocalize and things, but so then that was that. And so then we, you know, started the thing with the schools, and then you know, it was early intervention. I think after three, they you go on to the school and whatever programs they have for kids.
Yeah.
So
you've been painful, Tracy. I mean, I'm just trying to imagine, you know, I know how hard it was for me with just John Alex and that those early intervention days, but just trying to juggle doing that with four kids, plus you have another child.
Yeah.
And trying to make all that work. So how did you, as a young mom, how did you handle that? How did you process that? How were you doing at that stage of the game?
Not very well.
Yeah.
Because I really, back then in the year, 2003, there weren't many resources for kids for autism and everything. And I didn't know what I was doing, and I was overwhelmed. I mean, I'm not exactly Mother Earth as far as, I mean, I just wanted two kids. And so I was just overwhelmed with having these babies, two or three year olds, and then trying to navigate Jake. I mean, Jake kind of got kicked to the curb. And so it wasn't really, I look back now and it was just like, just fuzzy and crazy. And, you know, the doctors were not very helpful. They were kind of like, well, you know, you go to see a neurologist and we, you know, you have to do this, and they probably have to go to an institution. And,
oh, wow.
You know, there's probably not much to do with them. You know, I mean, there's not much you can do. That's autism, and that's the way it is. So, you know, Mike and I were like broken heart. It was like, you know, a death sentence for our kids. So, but then we were like, no, that's not good. We're not going to do that. We're going to, you know, we're just going to plug on. Mm-hmm. We can't just give up.
Right.
You know, we prayed for many years for another baby after Jake. And so, you know, it was the reason why I had four at once.
Right.
And then, you know, but it seemed like I just got over having four, you know, because I had a lot of problems at the birth, and I almost checked out, and just a lot of complications and things like that. And then, you know, then it was okay. So we just got over all of that, and then we got smacked with that. But then we were just like, well, you know, God doesn't make mistakes.
Yeah.
He doesn't like, oh, accidentally, or, you know, punish you for whatever you've done in the past, and it doesn't work. I didn't know that at the time. I really felt like we were being judged and we were being punished. I wasn't walking with God back then, really, you know, just kind of tiptoeing around. But, we just had to start this journey. I mean, first of all, I did actually kind of ignore it. I mean, we got the diagnosis and everything, and then we were upset. And then it was like denial. You know, it's like the stages they say that you go through.
Absolutely.
You know, and then anger, and then this, that, and the other. So I'll never forget one day, I haven't done anything. I was just like, you know, I froze. And so it was probably like a week or two later, my girlfriend, I was sitting there watching TV at her house and just oblivious to everything, you know. So she has this book and she hits me over the head. I'm like, what? She goes, your children have autism. Okay. And it was a book, it was like photos. It was, I can't remember what it was about, but it was a book about autism and everything. She said, I've been doing some research. She said, there's stuff you can do. So wow. You need to get busy. Get off your behind and do something for these children. There are only three. So there are things you can do. So of course I'm like,
bah! Yeah, wow. But what a brave friend to do that, you know?
Yeah, I've known her for years. So yeah.
Are you still friends with her after that?
Oh yeah, we're still friends today. Yeah. We're still, I mean, we talk all the time and everything.
Yeah.
So then that was it. I went off like a rocket then after that. I mean, I was doing everything, you know, the biomedical and then psychological and then just all of these things, kind of overwhelmed, but really just wanting to do something for these boys, mm-hmm. because they were my boys. And, and you know, so I had, you know, had people put in my path, you know, like you, we were both working for a biomedical doctor. This was a little later on, but it just seemed these people came into my path and were helpful and encouraging, and that there was hope, you know, as opposed to the physician just said, oh, you know, they're done, basically.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to amount to anything. I mean, he was... It was actually a neurologist, you know, he said that there's not much you can do for autism these days.
And it
wasn't as not popular, but it wasn't back then. It wasn't, you know.
John, our boys are fairly close in age. And I know when, you know, we started discovering things with John Alex, I mean, there was nothing, there was no hope. You know, nothing out there now. It's very prevalent.
There's everybody knows somebody.
Exactly. And I think we, in those early years, we're just searching for anything to help our kids, as parents do now too. But I think back then, well, I know internet wasn't even around really when John Alex was born.
So
you could go search for help and for answers. And, you know, that's one of the things I've so loved about your journey is watching you. I mean, you are Mama Bear and you are what you are. And you are searching and you're always, you have not lost your hope in finding ways to help your boys. And when there's something new that comes around, you are one of the first ones out there trying it. And so even after all these years, you know, I think we all, when our kids are first diagnosed, we think they're going to grow out of it, or they're going to, you know, we don't think that we're going to be at 22 and 18 and dealing with the things that we're dealing with now. But we wouldn't change our boys for who they are for anything.
We just
let them to feel better and feel the best that they can.
Yeah.
You know, but we wouldn't change them. I wouldn't, you know, J.A. is who created how he's supposed to be. It's just as your boys are. So what were some of the things you did early on that just kind of kept you going, you know, and especially in those early years, you know, you have gotten the diagnoses, you've got five kids that you're trying to manage all the different needs that they have. What is something that you did early on that you look back and go, man, if I would so want another parent to know this?
I think, there's so much really. It's just finding out the information, what there is out there. I mean, you have to be careful because there's so many like crazy things and so many people out there now that want to take advantage. I mean, it's like anything else.
Right.
Advantage of you. But, you know, you decide. I mean, even if your doctor says one thing or your psychologist or your biomedical person says this thing, but you inside, you're like, I'm not feeling it. I don't feel like that this is something that I want to do for my kid. Whereas, you know, the doctor may say, no, you need to do this. Or, I mean, if they're deathly ill or they're sick or they're, you know, or whatever the child is. But if it's just the autism side, But you have to make your, you know, make your own decisions. You're the child. I mean, you're the child. You're the mother or the father or the caregiver. Then that child is your gift. So if you feel that inside, then that it's something that you need to do if you feel driven to do. But don't get on the bandwagon of autism or special needs bandwagon and be jumping on everything because so-and-so is doing it. I need to do it. Or this is new or whatever. But do your research. Look into it. You know, I mean, I've seen everything and I've actually done everything too.
Yeah.
I've actually done every single thing. And some of the things have worked. I mean, I don't believe there will ever be a cure. I mean, I think you can get, I mean, I think, you know, you may end up with just a little, like Sam. I mean, unless you know Sam, you don't really know. You know he's a bit quirky, but you don't know but what it is. But I think that the functionality of life and, you know, like with Gabe, if I could get his immunology sorted out and if I could get his, you know, rash sorted out and his nosebleeds, and that's okay. But just you be the deciding factor. And there's a saying that goes, if you've met one kid with autism, you've met one kid with autism.
Right.
Because what works for, you know, what works for one kid, you know, like B12 injections. I had a friend in the very beginning that did B12 injections for her kid and it started talking.
Yeah.
You know, I've done everything. I've even done the nicotine patches on it. We've done like this is like every quirky thing. But at the time, I was just like, I got to do it.
Something, right.
And all these people are coming to me saying, you need to do this and this and this and this. And at the time, I was desperate to fix him.
Right.
I can't fix him. Right. I mean, I can help him, you know, feel comfortable and be functional in society. But I can't, it's only up to the good Lord.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord, when he's ready, there's a reason why this child is like this. His name is Gabriel. He's supposed to be the voice of God. It's like, okay, he can't talk. But he is the voice of God because of everything that he is and all the people that he's affecting around
him. Absolutely.
So you got to just, you have to be careful with that. I mean, be hopeful though. Because what one thing that works for one may not be for the other.
Yeah.
But you go by what's inside, mm-hmm. not what's out there. Because that's what I did in the beginning. Was that I have to try all these things. I have to do all these things so it may click.
Yeah, and we were the same way. You know, it was
you're
just searching for anything. You're so desperate. But then in time, you know, you and I both learned, okay, we've got to be praying daily for God to show us what our kids need, because he knows. He knows what Gabe needs.
Right.
He knows what Sammy, he knows what John Alex needs. And I think that would be one of the things that I wish that I had done better early on was to really hone in there and go, okay, God, you know what John Alex needs. And
it's in the heart thing. I mean,
exactly. This goes right back to what you were saying.
Yeah. I mean, it always leads back to that. I mean, even now I have people that, oh, I did this for my kid. Or I did that. I'm like, I'm not feeling it. Or I'll be like, okay, Lord, if I'm meant to do this, let me know. If it's not going to work, just stand in the
I'll
way.
And here.
Push
right.
it to the side.
Close it. So I want to shift just a little bit and I want to talk about marriage because, when you have it, as you well know, when you have a child with special needs, the strains that it puts on you financially, emotionally, spiritually, and on your marriage, it's, if you don't live this life, you really cannot put it into words. So tell us a little bit about your story, your marriage story. You said you've been married, 32 years now? That's amazing.
Yeah.
Congratulations. That is a big deal.
Thank you.
That is great. So talk a little bit about marriage. Share only what your husband, Mike, would say. It's okay to share, but I'd love to think it's such an important topic to talk about the marriage relationship, because especially when you have 5 kids, and then you have 2 with special needs, one, you know, obviously more profound than the other, you don't have really time to breathe a lot of times. So share a little bit about marriage and how you guys have navigated your life together.
Well, it hasn't all been moonlight and roses. I mean, everybody says, oh, 32 years. It's been very rocky. Because, you know, in the beginning, my husband was very much in denial and didn't want to be involved with any of the therapies and the medical side, because he was just like in denial. It's like,
well, that's a typical, yeah, that's a typical response from dad.
Yeah, it was too much. So, you know, and then it got better because he saw a couple of improvements. Like we did the diet with, we did a gluten-free diet with Gabe. So it helped with his stomach and things like that. So he saw those improvements and he jumped on board. But then as it started getting more rigorous or as the children got older, it got a little bit more tougher because, you know, you had them growing up and the schooling and then family and things like that. It's just different dynamics every time they age. So he started just, I started feeling lonely, you know, because we weren't connected. I mean, and also, you know, he works, he's a physician, so he was gone a lot and he would stay gone a lot, much like I was in the beginning.
Right.
So then working. And so then, you know, we started being like ships in the night because, you know, obviously he did help. He was lovely. I mean, he was really great with me. You know, I could go, you know, weekends I would go shopping or whatever and do whatever. So he was good. He was good in that respect. But then we was just started getting like ships in the night. Mom, he didn't really get it because he was gone all day with other. So we just started drifting apart from each other. Just like thinking, I think it was like, well, okay, when the kids get better, then, you know, we can connect back again. But we just started getting further and further apart and then being resentful of each other.
Yeah.
You know, just being resentful and you know, Mike was like, what about my needs? And I'm like, what about my needs? I need you and you need to help and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, I'm out working, so I'll be able to pay for all of this. And we just got to a really, really bad point that, you know, so much so it was divorce time. You know, 85% of couples with special needs kids, they're off. So it got to the point where, you know, we just... It was too much. It was too much pressure. I mean, too much pressure for him and for, you know, I can't explain it. It was a really dark time and we were getting ready, but then it's just like, well, how can I deal with these kids by myself or how, you know, because we did rely on each. He was really good. We went to a therapist and everything and just said, what's going on? And he said, the therapist just said, look, you know, how could you not be at each other's throats or be, you know, because you have so much pressure. You have five children and then the other ones have got needs and, you know, they're going through this. You need to go away or get some retreat or something. You need to, and you need to do stuff for yourselves, you know.
Which in your mind, you're probably going, how in the world are we going to do that? You know?
We can't leave them. I mean, yeah. I felt like I can't leave them. There's too many instructions and too many things to do. And, you know, but then the therapist says, you have to.
Yeah.
Even if he said, you have to. So then he found this cruise. Okay. And it was faith-based and it was a cruise for just married couples, no children, no nothing. And it's just lovely. And it just, I think it was about 5 to 7 days or something like that. And then they had just their own worship, you know, music and, they had stuff on the deck. So it was really like we could go back to being the boy and girl again, you know.
Focusing.
So, but anyway, now we make it a point to go every year.
Yeah.
Because that's our, we know that even if during the year we're just like this, like, or, you know, and we've learned things about marriage too while we're there, about speaking words of life into somebody or not biting back.
Right, communication.
Apologizing. And, yeah. Even if you know that you're right.
Yeah.
You know you're right.
Yeah.
Especially the women.
It's
I'm sorry. Because it's like a word. I mean, who cares?
Yeah. It's not a hill worth dying on. Yeah.
Well, yeah, going on for 5 days, not talking to each other. It's just like, I'm sorry. You know, and so now, and then you have a competition to say who could say, sorry first. So we learned all of that, how to just be tolerant of each other and to be loving and giving and words of life and doing things for each other. But now we go every year because we know we have to look forward to it. And incidentally, please pray right now. Our cruise is in February. We don't have any caregivers.
Wow.
So I'm like, Lord, again, if you want us to go, you know we need to go.
Yeah.
Just bring somebody in, or I mean, we have our old nanny who's a nurse, and she came in like last year, but I know it was very hard for her because it's right. But anyway, just we make that a point. It's like our medicine, because we wouldn't be able to unless we had that time alone together. Right.
Well,
you know,
this is
not a date night, but it's one night.
Right. Well, and this is what I love, Tracy, is that you saw that you were at a crisis point, and some people would just go ahead and divorce, or go ahead and just say, well, forget it, I'm not going to work on our marriage. But you guys were brave. And you went and got the therapy that you needed. You went and talked to someone. You didn't try to go into the cave and act like there wasn't any hope. You went out and sought that help. And then what I love even more is that now, I mean, I look at my life and me just trying to get away to go on a trip by myself for that long. I can come up with a million and one excuses as to why it's not going to happen. And I think that happens a lot with our families. We can come up with a million excuses as to why we can't do something. But you guys have seen you have to make your marriage a priority. And so I just applaud you for finding a way to be able to do that and to take time for this trip. And in fact, if you can share with me that information as to what cruise you go on, we'll add that into the show notes because it may be that the following year, maybe somebody else just like, I'm going to make this a goal for my family, is that for me and my spouse, for us to go on this trip. So we'll get that information from you and share that in the show notes. But I just applaud you for that, because in the midst of all that you have going on caring for your children, you know how important it is for you to pour into your marriage and into your husband. And so I just think that is just so beautiful that you saw that, and that you're finding a way to make that happen. So yes, Lord, send someone for February so you guys can take your cruise.
I believe he will. If he doesn't, then we're not meant to go. But you have to. And it's like juggling plates. I mean, it's absolutely. Like my mom used to say, is that you're, you got your kids, and then the special needs one, or something's going on, and you take care of him. And then the typical kid, something's going on with her. And then you come over here, and the dog's got a kidney infection.
Right.
You take care of the dog. And then your marriage, because it's, you have to be careful not to put that one aside, because that one, is your kids can't do anything for themselves. I mean, they can't, well, they can, but they can't take care of themselves and everything. Dog can't care. So you feel like, oh, I don't have any energy to do that, but you have to. That's your main strength and support right there.
Yeah.
And another, it's a reason you're together. I mean, there's a reason. I mean, Mike and I, we met on the beach in Florida. So it's like, what are the chances of that? So
right.
But you have to believe in that, and you have to rely on each other, because there's nobody else. There's nobody else that loves your kids like your husband.
Yeah.
There's nobody else. And it makes me upset thinking about, Jeff, but there's nobody else that has that loving and caring. I mean, even other relatives, I mean, that heart stuff. So you have to keep together. That's the only way you're both going to survive.
Right.
Both have to keep together. I mean, I think it's very important, just as much as taking care of these kids.
Yeah, I could not agree more. And I know you mentioned Jeff. I mean, we made it a commitment. Our marriage was a commitment. And, I've been living this solo parent life now for 2.5 years, and it's not fun, and it is not easy. And so I just say, yay for you guys for making that such an important thing. So, I want you to envision yourself sitting across the table from yourself, young Tracy, new mom, just getting diagnosed. Now you are 18 years down the road. You've been through so much. So what would be the one thing? We close every podcast with the one thing. What would be the one thing that you, Tracy, 18 years down the road now, would tell that young, scared, sweet mama all those years ago who is just trying to figure out what end is up? What would you say to her? What's the one thing you would tell her?
Hold on, you're in for a good ride. No, well, just to, you know, I was always thinking ahead and trying to fix them and take, you know, I was always like worried about the future. I was always worried, like, well, what are they going to do this? What are they going to do? So I would say just don't give up hope. I mean, never, you don't. You yeah. just don't. Because as I said before, God doesn't make mistakes. There's yeah. a reason why you are the mama, the caregiver, or the dad of your child with special needs. And so, and don't just go day by day. I mean, even, you know, the day, obviously the things are, you know, the crucial things, the schooling or whatever. But yeah, just go day by day.
Yeah.
And live each day, try to live each day to the fullest. And if you have a rubbish day, which sometimes you do, or you have right. two rubbish days.
Right.
Just try not to be down and don't stay down in that pit. I mean, yeah, have your rubbish day. I mean, have your day of just like, today's been really rubbish.
Yeah.
And then have your glass of wine or put your feet up or like, okay, tomorrow is going to be better.
Yeah.
And then so on and so forth. Because if I look too far down that road, like, what am I going to do when he's 21? Mm-hmm. Where is he going to go? Right. I mean, I start getting upset and everything. But right. day by day, hope, surround yourself with a good support system. I mean, and be nice to yourself. You know, go to By the Brook, hang out with your friends. And I think there's a men's one too, isn't there? There's
yeah, the dads get together for SOAR. Yes.
Yeah, and eat meat. That's what. Yes. We don't do pedicures, medicures. We just eat yes. meat.
He used to call it carnivore night, where they would just like grill all kinds of meat. So yeah. And so I think that's part of it too, though, Tracy, is like allowing your spouse to have the opportunities to go do those, you know, like you go to By the Brook and allowing your spouse working together for you to have those respite times. So I think yeah. that's so great. And I think you're right. It's like, if we try to look too far down the road, it's like we can't even compute what that, you know, what that's going to look like. And so, like you said, plan, but take every day as it comes.
Yeah.
That's a great word. So Tracy, I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful to call you friend. And, you know, I've watched you over these years and just how you have poured into your families and your family and all you've done. Now, something just came to my mind, something that you guys did that I have to bring up. But what did you do over the summer with your family that I think is absolutely amazing? Where did you go as a family? I can't even fathom this with John Alex. I can't.
And this was a total God thing too. Because here's my child that is OCD and cannot, you know, he has to do certain things at once. He has to eat certain things, blah, blah, blah. So we went on this cruise to the Mediterranean and went and visited all these different countries that, you know, we're in France and Spain. And all of these excursions, and happened to be on the bus at 7 a.m. And this child doesn't roll out of the bed till about 9 o'clock. And we were just, and my wife's like, oh, what's going to happen? What if he does this? We've paid a lot of money. What if he doesn't want to, you know? And I'm like, listen, we wouldn't have meant to go. If we weren't meant to go, we were meant to go, because God would be like, yeah, I don't want to do, you know, I don't want to let him do that. So anyway, so yeah, we went to all these different countries. All of these excursions to Rome and to Paris. And it was like a trip of a lifetime, because the kids were graduating. And then Jake, you know, years ago when he graduated, we could, from high school, we couldn't afford to go anywhere, like a right. high school trip. So it was a high school trip and then a trip for us. So, yeah, I mean.
You are brave, my friend. That is brave.
The child does not want me. I mean, because we were all like, you know, some of these excursions were a fortune. And I told Mike, I said, look, if he doesn't want to go and he acts up and he's bad, I said, you just take the kids and I'll stay on the ship. That child was better than the others.
That's amazing.
No complaining, no about walking. At one point we saw him walking. We were at Versailles or something. And I looked at the back of his heel and it was bleeding. I mean, his feet were bleeding. Child just kept walking, didn't stop, you know, like anybody uh-huh. else, or a typical kid would be like, oh, my heel. That child just kept walking. I mean, he loved it. He uh-huh. was so well behaved. he was just awesome.
You know, I so often limit what we do as a family because I'm like, it's just not going to work. And yeah. I just think it's amazing. You set a great example.
Just do it. If it goes, you know, belly up, then whatever. But you just say,
okay. Tried it. You've done it. So I think
go to the beach.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, well, Tracy, I'm so grateful for you and our friendship, and I can't wait to see you again at By the Brook, if not sooner than then. And just thank you for all you do, all you've done all along to bring support to special needs families, and just I'm just grateful for you. So, thank you for this time.
Same here, my love. I mean, you. I've watched you grow too, and the ministry and everything. And I mean, I remember you said to me, if I did a little retreat for moms, would you come? And I was like, mm-hmm. And I remember that conversation. I can hear it now, but you've done so much as well. And I'm so grateful. I mean, I can just like pick up the phone, or I can just text you and be like, I can't do this day. Or how do you manage? You know, I mean, how do you manage? You it's like losing your left arm with your man being gone, but yeah, you're an inspiration to me, and I'm so grateful for Rising Above and everything that they've done. I mean, I've watched all the other moms' kids grow, and some of these moms I'm still friends with. I mean, I see it once a year. 10 years I've been friends with them.
Absolutely.
You know, and I just met them there, and we just all rallied together, we laugh and cry, and the same with you.
Well, I'm grateful for you. And so thank you so much for being with me on the podcast. We're so grateful for you.
Oh, no problem.
Thank you for listening to the Rising Above Ministries podcast. We would like to thank Jimmy Thorpe and Patrick Mayberry for providing the music for our podcast today. If you like what you hear, please take a minute to leave us a rating and review. This helps others like you find our content more easily. You can learn more about how Rising Above Ministries is encouraging the special needs community by checking out our website at risingaboveministries.org or by finding us on Facebook and Instagram. We look forward to connecting with you.